Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ambaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Paul Lee, CEO of Curely. Paul is a distinguished doctor, entrepreneur, and innovator. Thank you for coming in today and sharing so much of your insights with our audience.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here, Stephen. Thank you.
Now, Paul, as I indicated, you've got this fantastic history and so much success. What were your catalysts initially to get into medicine?
Well, basically, I was always interested in science, and that's why I went to study biochemistry at Oxford. Now, during my studying in Oxford, I wanted to know the clinical practices of the things that I learned in school. So the natural response for me was to either go into medical school in the UK after graduating from biochemistry, or going back to my homeland, which is Korea, and practice there. But then, because I lived abroad for about 19 years, I wanted to go back home and become a medical doctor there. So it's multiple reasons. One, the science really attracted me, and the clinical practices, how science can be involved in the human body, that was very intriguing for me. So it was a natural path for me to go into medicine.
Now, can you describe your time with Roca?
Yeah. As you know, in Korea, there's a compulsory military service. And as a lieutenant doctor, which means because I have an MD, I need to go in as an officer and not just a private. So it's 3 years, which is pretty long, but I had a great experience. I was based in a small city in Gyeonggi-do, which is about 40 minutes from Gangnam. And what I did was I was the chairman of a public health center there. So I saw patients of all ages, but mostly elderly patients with hypertension and diabetes.
Now, you also spent time, as you've indicated earlier, at Oxford and at Catholic University. What lessons can you share from that?
Well, the most important thing is courage, I think, because without courage, you can't really step up. And being fearless at the same time is very, very important. Also, another important thing I learned was that ideas mean nothing. And it's that first step of execution that counts. And if you don't have courage, then you can't take that first step. So it's a little bit of self-confidence, but mostly courage that forces you to make that first step and do what you really want to do. And that's the most important lessons I learned from Oxford and Catholic University.
Now, I also know that you went to Singularity University, FutureMed 2013. What sort of was your initial interest or catalyst to go into FutureMed 2013? And then what were some lessons that you learned?
Yeah, I mean, Singularity University FutureMed, that was an amazing conference for me, a real eye-opener. Basically, I was in the ROKA as a lieutenant doctor, and I had some free time, so I was roaming through the internet, and I was going through all the possibilities of where medicine is going to be headed in the future. And I was looking through YouTube videos, I was looking through articles, and there was a video with Daniel Kraft on it where he was talking about how medicine will evolve so that later on artificial intelligence will be able to diagnose you rather than a doctor, and how robotic surgeries will dominate the surgery industry as well. So it was very intriguing, and that really got me into getting into Singularity University. But because I was in service at ROKA, it wasn't a very easy step to get into that conference. So I had to go through a lot of paperwork in order to get out of the country to go to that thing. But going there really was an eye-opening experience. And it made me really think about how and where medicine is going to be and what is really necessary for doctors. And it's not just patients now, because I consider patients more of a consumer, because they're buying a service from the doctors and the health professionals now. And the landscape of healthcare is changing dramatically. So how can we disrupt this healthcare system around the globe was the pinnacle of FutureMed. And that got me thinking, basically, to shoot the stars.
You know, I guess that's a natural segue now to get into this whole area of Curely. So what is Curely, and what challenges in healthcare led you to become the CEO of this company?
Right. So Curely is our first project to accelerate the adoption of global telehealth system based on our beliefs. And in Curely, we believe that offline clinics, which is your everyday clinics, can essentially be moved on to online clinics. However, now at the current time, it's very difficult for patients or consumers and the doctors themselves to incorporate that online transaction and online visit. So we believe, rather than going full on telemedicine, we believe there needs to be a buffer between an offline clinic and a full on telemedicine. So that's what Curely is. And what Curely does is we allow consumers to experience how doctors share their knowledge with their friends and family. I'm a doctor myself, and I get phone calls from my friends, my families all the time asking me all these health informational questions. And it's great that I can share that knowledge, but there are a lot of people around the world that do not have friends who are doctors. And actually, we want to provide that service where anyone around the globe can talk to a doctor at any time, at any place, when they need to, in any language that they choose. Because all we're doing at Curely is matchmaking between a doctor and a consumer in real time so that they can video conference or audio chat or instant message between themselves and get the health informational resources directly to them.
Now, from your answer, you've already somewhat answered part of this next question, and that is, what is the healthcare model of Curely?
Right. So the main healthcare model that we see in Curely is it's a marketplace. And there are no marketplaces currently in the healthcare system at all around the globe. I mean, if you see Airbnb, Airbnb is a marketplace for hospitality. You see Etsy, and Etsy is a marketplace for artisans and craftsmen. Like Uber is a marketplace for taxi services. I mean, we don't need to go into Amazon and eBay and Gmarket in Korea, but there are marketplaces almost everywhere in every industry. There's nothing like that in the healthcare sector. So we're saying there needs to be a marketplace in the healthcare system where doctors and consumers around the world can meet and consumers can choose their choice in doctors by looking at their profiles, their credentials, and their reviews and ratings, and choose to have a conversation with that doctor.
This then leads to the next question, and it's going to be a two-parter. So what is the business and revenue model of this new marketplace? And then using the business model canvas as a guide, can you describe the 9 key areas of Curely?
Right. The basic revenue model for Curely is that we take a modest transaction fee from the doctors when they get paid for a session. Now, the important thing about Curely is that there are going to be pro bono sessions where consumers can come and get free consultations from the doctor. The main important thing about this is the gamification implied in Curely, which means it's going to incentivize doctors to be able to give free consultations so that they can rack up their reputation points online. So their reputation, their online reputation becomes prominent so that more consumers will choose them. Now, this will then allow these doctors to earn more money by getting more paid consultations. And we take a modest transaction fee from the doctors. The canvas model, I'm pretty familiar with it, but let me just focus on one main thing, which is value proposition. Now, in the U.S. alone, the U.S. spends more than 70% of GDP on healthcare, and more than $750 billion is wasted. Also, it takes about 39 days for a consumer to actually schedule an appointment with a primary physician, 50 days for a specialist. And you have to wait, well, excluding travel time, obviously. You need to go into the office and wait for about an hour to see the doctor, which is going to only last about 7 to 10 minutes. We're saying, let's get rid of all that wait time. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could talk to a doctor instantly without traveling, without waiting, without scheduling, and get that informational resources given to you anytime you choose? if you look at the statistics in the U.S. alone, the visit to the ER, the annual visit number is about 1 billion. Now, within that 1 billion, about 80% of the people who actually go to the ER say that they go to the ER because there are no other doctor's offices open at that time, and they have no other resources to go to except the ER. So they go to the ER, spend about $750 without insurance, and wait for 3 hours in line and see a doctor just to confirm that they have a flu or a cold, and they can just go home and sleep and get over it. So we're saying, let's get that out of the system. Let's get that waiting time, that hassle out, so that consumers can see doctors in a very convenient, very rapid manner. Now, if you look at it from the doctor's perspective, doctors see, I'm a doctor myself, but we see patients from all ages with multiple different illnesses. Now, most of them do not really have to come into office. We can see them online, talk to them over a phone or a video chat, and it really mitigates them coming in for a long asserted consultation with them when they can just do it over the phone or over the video chat. So we're saying we can make the system much more rapid and much more concise with a price that is chosen by the consumer and not the doctor or the hospital. So that's the value proposition that we at Curely give to the consumers and the doctors.
You know, that's quite interesting. So is this medical diagnosis that's occurring here?
No, that's a very good question, Stephen, because we're thinking that in order to get rid of all the regulatory barriers we have right now in the U.S. and around the world, we think Curely doesn't need to diagnose or doesn't need to provide prescription in order to help people. Most of the situations in a clinic, consumers come because they need advice. They need informational resources straight from the experts now. Now, going to WebMD, some people say it will be sufficient, but if you're not educated in the area of medicine, it's very difficult to find and pinpoint the exact information that you need on WebMD, for example. So getting that information straight from a health professional is very, very important and very, very useful, despite not having that diagnosis or prescription inside the consultation.
You know, that sounds quite interesting. Now, you know that various smartphone manufacturers are now embedding biometric kind of devices within the phones, and there's even word that maybe Apple will be coming out with something quite amazing in the future.
Exactly.
Are you able to use some of that data as well?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, Stephen. I mean, that's the kicker, we believe. Because if you have doctors on one side and the consumers on the other, if we have those two pools lined up on our platform, then companies like Apple, companies like GE, companies like Samsung, who are developing all these sensors that can detect, for example, heartbeats, you know, your glucose level in your blood, your urine samples, all these things can be incorporated into our platform so that doctors will be able to use those data to help the consumers that are coming into the platform. So we're saying that is full-on medicine. Using those data and diagnosing and prescribing, that will be full-on telemedicine. But in Curely, we believe that right now, the majority of the population is not actually ready for full-on telemedicine. I mean, if you ask a person on the street, would you rather go to an offline clinic or go to an online clinic, most people will say, if I need to get my prescription, I'd rather go and see a doctor offline, despite the wait. But it will change with time. It will change very, very quickly, like the IT area changed very, very rapidly. As more people use the mobile phone and the mobile system and the mobile platforms, people will be more comfortable with talking to doctors online to get that prescription. But we're saying at Curely, it's a little early for full-on telemedicine with all the sensors, and it's too mundane to, in a way, to go to an offline clinic when you can get some health information resources that are very readily available. So Curely is acting right in between the offline clinic and the full-blown telemedicine. So going back to your question, Stephen, yes, definitely. We plan to incorporate all the sensors and all the innovative technologies that are coming out that will measure all these health informational data, which is basically quantifying self data. And that data will be crucial in forming Curely and the future of Curely.
You know, that's quite profound what you're proposing. So what does Curely mean to the healthcare system?
Well, we're hoping and we believe that it's going to disrupt the healthcare system. And it will help consumers to find and talk to doctors much more in a rapid, concise, effective way so that doctors can earn more money in volume because they'll see patients from all over the world. They're not just limited to their own state. There'll be patients from other states as well as other countries. Also, from the consumer side, we're proposing that you don't have to wait in line to go and see a doctor. You don't need to get an appointment. You don't need to schedule 30 days in advance to get your surgery. We're proposing that you can do that very, very quickly and very, very effectively. So in a way, we want to disrupt this industry so that all the incumbents in between doctors and consumers are eradicated.
It just sounds fascinating, and especially in the news today, you hear so much about the VA issue.
Right.
So it looks like you have something that can address many, many challenges that are in the present system. So what kind of KPIs, that is key performance indicators, will determine if you're successful?
Well, basically, the number of sessions completed on Curely will be the most important KPI. We're looking at free sessions as well as paid sessions. So the overall session number will be the biggest KPI. And also, we're very concentrating on how many doctors are active. So monthly active doctors will be a very important KPI for us. And another KPI will be the number of consumers registered. How many consumers are using it? How many consumers will use it? And in comparison to that, if you look at the statistics now in the healthcare system in the U.S., a healthy normal person in his 30s to about 50s in that range would go to an hospital to go and see a doctor about 4 times a year. Now, that statistic is a little iffy because if it was more readily available, I predict that people will go to their doctors much more often. So the KPIs that we've discovered and we have targeted is those three: the number of sessions completed on Curely, the number of active doctors, and the number of consumers registered.
So a follow-up to that question would be, what would be your goals in those three metrics this year and in 2015?
Right. So that's a very good question, and that's a very difficult question at the same time, because right now we're hoping to have around 800 doctors around the world providing sessions within the 6 months of launch. In 2015, we're hoping to get around 3,000 doctors around the globe. So as a start, we're starting in getting doctors from a variety of countries. The first up, we're going to get doctors from the U.S. We're going to get doctors from Mexico. We're going to get doctors from Singapore. We're going to get doctors from Korea. We're going to get doctors from India. So those are the pool of doctors that we're beginning with as soon as we launch. So after that, because the invitation system is embedded in our cancellation in Curely, the doctors who are the beta testers will be allowed to invite 5 doctors each, and it will spread. So we're hoping that the number of doctors will increase within those countries that I just mentioned and kickstart Curely and go global. So by end of 2015, we're hoping about 3,000 more, much more, I hope, but we'll have to see. Hope for the best. Touch wood.
Well, it's clear that Curely is going to impact society because you're providing an alternative, more easily accessible vehicle to get really great information and get it quickly and at a good at a good cost, and you get creation occurring. That is some right. sort of you know, quality selection occurring through this process, through this marketplace that you're creating. You know, what about the impact on government and education and business and other areas? Do you see impacts there?
We hope so. We hope so. I mean, in the business sector, definitely. All the healthcare market right now will change, I believe. And because Curely is the first marketplace in healthcare system, we believe that if we have the number of doctors and the consumers set up, then selling healthcare goods, selling drugs, pharmaceutical companies coming in, all the sensor companies such as Samsung, GE, you know, IBM, Apple, all these big, big corporate companies will be able to come in and hopefully join our venture in improving healthcare systems. So I see a very big impact in business, in the healthcare sector especially. And for the government, I mean, right now, the telemedicine law is changing dramatically, and it will have to change because right now it states that, for example, if you're a doctor in California, you can only see consumers or patients in California. But if you think about telemedicine, that defies the whole purpose of telemedicine because telemedicine is online and it's global, and you can, you know, meet, talk to anyone practically everywhere around the world. So right now, I believe it's kind of silly just to be able to see a consumer in your own state. But that telemedicine law is changing and will change. So I'm hoping Curely can push the boundaries so that the government will change the regulations and the laws in telehealth and telemedicine so that people can really innovate in that area. In education, I think the most important thing that I see and we see in Curely is how the doctors are trained. Because with the innovations such as Google Glass and all these wearable devices, we see that training of doctors can change. Because if you think about it, in medical schools and in surgeries and in practical, you know, clinic settings, if you put on your wearables, then a professor who's miles away can actually teach you through your wearable devices, and you'll be able to learn from that. And these things can all be incorporated into Curely. So we believe that education, especially in the healthcare sector, especially in medical schools, will be very impactful.
Now, I assume this takes off because it is disruptive and it's going to provide a great alternative to the marketplace. And the marketplace will, I guess the general marketplace will define whether this is going to happen or not. What's your right. exit strategy?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't see how a marketplace can actually exit, but we're looking for the long haul. So right now, there is no exit strategy. And I personally believe that when you're building a business, when you're thinking about the exit strategy, then I don't think you can really build a good company and a good business. So right now, we're not thinking about the exit strategy. We're just thinking about how we can help the consumers in their own right and help the doctors so that they can provide their expertise in a way, in a manner that can really help themselves as well as help the consumers and the patients.
I can clearly see an advantage for the North American marketplace, that is the U.S. marketplace, for this kind of strategy in
right.
terms of medicine. But how about areas of the world where they have socialized health, for example, the UK or Canada?
Right. That's a very good question. Now, we believe that the most important thing is the hassle of actually going to an offline clinic, whether it's a socialized healthcare system, whether you can just walk out. For example, in Korea, you can see a specialist within 30 minutes. I mean, you can just walk out of your house and there'll be specialist clinics, you know, all over the place. So it'll be very, very easy for you to see. But in majority of countries, it's just that hassle of making an appointment, scheduling that, traveling to that office and waiting in the waiting room and seeing a doctor when you can just do that online with a video conference very, very quickly, very, very efficiently when you choose. And at the price, the pricing is very, very important, because we believe that it's not the doctors or the hospitals who are setting the pricing. I think it should be the consumers who should be setting the price, because they're buying for a service that they want. So I don't think it matters whether it's the UK or whether it's China or whether it's UK. If it's more convenient and if it's more price worthy, I think people will use it. It's exactly the same as, if I put it in an analogy, I mean, for example, a camera. I mean, you have a camera in your mobile phone, but people use mobile phone cameras much more than a Canon or a Nikon, which is a much better camera. But it's because it's more convenient and you can take photos anywhere and you don't have to carry that heavy camera, although it's very good with luxury, you know, specs. It's just that convenience and hassle-free component that is very, very important, I think.
Well, Paul, you've given a great description of Curely and sort of the value that it's going to provide to everybody, really every segment. Let's now move to some more general questions. So what are your other interests in the broad applications of this work?
Well, I'm interested in artificial intelligence, to be perfectly honest with you, because I really do think, although I'm a doctor, that computers and artificial intelligence will be able to diagnose a patient much better than a human doctor can in, let's say, 20 years. And it's very, very important we discuss this, because there are more to medicine than just diagnosing and prescribing. And as you know, the most important part of being a doctor is not just your knowledge, but also the human companionship and that human nature, that connection between you and the patient and you and the consumer. But artificial intelligence, I believe, will help the doctors make a much more sound judgment of the diagnosis or the treatment, because there's only, I mean, as a human being, I believe there are limits that of, for example, going through the recent articles, looking at the recent treatment plans, and educating yourselves on the up-to-date information all the time. But artificial intelligence will be able to, I mean, if you just program it, and get all the latest data in there, and have that artificial intelligence be tested in a clinical setting, then I believe artificial intelligence will guide and will help doctors in the long run to diagnose and treat patients. So it's a two-side of the sword, artificial intelligence. But if you use it right, I think there'll be a very beneficial way of improving medicine. And in a way, it's all big data. And we have that in mind in Curely. And so, yeah, I mean, artificial intelligence is where my other interests are, and I'm looking closely at how that is evolving. I mean, for example, IBM Watson. I mean, I think IBM is doing a great job in getting Watson and getting all the health data in that system so that we can improve healthcare even more.
You know, it's interesting. IBM has recently announced that they're sort of inviting or encouraging researchers and developers to link into their system and to work with it. Is that something
yes.
that Curely is planning to do as well?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. We hope in the future to be working with IBM Watson. But then again, in our data at Curely, we're planning to set up our own big data system so that we see the interaction between the doctors and the consumers. And if we see it in the global scale, I think there will be a way of IBM and Curely cooperating in the future, definitely.
Or I guess the work that's being done in deep learning. In fact, I just had a conversation not too long ago with Andrew Ng, and Andrew Ng is the director of the Artificial Intelligence Laboratory at Stanford.
Right.
And he was the head of the deep learning project at Google. And
right.
I noticed in a news release recently that he's being asked to head up the deep learning project, also Baidu as well, where they
right.
set up a new research facility. Is that something then you may even reach out to Andrew?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's a little too early to say right now, but definitely that is a sector we are targeting and we will go into in the future, definitely.
Right, or again, it reminds me of Tom Mitchell, who's leading up the AI area, or machine learning area. He's the founder at Carnegie Mellon, and he's created a project called the Never Ending Language Learner. And
right.
What it's doing is consuming everything that's on the web, and it's actually teaching itself. So it's quite an amazing project.
Exactly.
So in all of your things that you've done, what do you consider to be your most valuable lessons or your most difficult challenges? Anything that you think would be valuable to share with the audience?
The most valuable lesson, I think it's just execution. I think the most important thing is if you really have the will to do something, I think you have to take that first step. And taking that first step needs a lot of courage. It needs a lot of blind self-confidence. And it's very, very risky. And just being able to step further and one step more than your competitors, I think that's key, and that's a very important quality to have if you want to be an entrepreneur or if you want to do a startup. I think that, because most people think ideas are all that, but in my view, ideas don't mean anything. I mean, anyone can have an idea, and your idea is never going to be new because there are multiple people around the globe that will have the same idea as you. But I believe that taking that first step to execute your idea is the most valuable and the most important thing that you can do as a startup or as an entrepreneur.
I would say that then answers some of the parts of my next question, which was going to be what specific qualities make you excel. So I guess you would say things like the ability to develop strategy, but also to execute, to have courage, to be able to manage
right.
risk and take risk. And
definitely. But I think it just helps being positive, you know. Sometimes it's blind faith, that the feeling that you will achieve something, and because you want it so bad that you think about it, you dream about it, you know, will make you act like it. And if you do that, I think the stars will align so that it will help you. I mean, you have to think positive. Although you'll be faced with all these tremendous amount of hurdles. I mean, you know, I get cold sweats every time I walk into a meeting or, you know, sleep at night or, you know, just talk to some of my employees. But, you know, just being positive and having that positive attitude where your willpower will just, you know, run any of that negative thoughts over will hopefully make the stars align and do you justice.
Earlier, I indicated that I had a discussion with Tom Mitchell, who founded the machine learning or AI area at Carnegie Mellon, and I mentioned this never-ending language learner, this
right.
sort of machine learning system that's learning to read the web, assimilating this information, and is teaching itself.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a parallel research project, which is on the brain, and where they can actually predict what kind of neural patterns are going to appear if a person is given a word or some kind of word structure. And they're going to merge those two projects, and perhaps in 10 years, let's say, you're going to be to ask this system things like, I'm conducting a piece of research in a particular area, and you can ask it, tell me everything that opposes or is aligned with my research. And
wow.
There's this as I mentioned, this parallel research with the human brain where they're able to analyze what's happening in the brain and understand sort of the kind of the things that a person is thinking about, also make predictions
right.
if you give it a novel word to a person. And that goes into something like functional magnetic resonant imaging and magnetic electroencephalography, and maybe the innovations that are going to occur where those are really large devices, but they're going to get smaller and smaller and the resolution is going to get higher.
Definitely.
Now,
definitely.
You have an interest in medicine, of course, because you're a doctor. You have an interest in being disruptive in this whole healthcare area.
Right.
Plus, you're an innovator, an entrepreneur, and also interested in artificial intelligence. So do you have any idea what you consider to be sort of some of the upcoming disruptive innovations?
Well, I think artificial intelligence, as we both agree, is a big sector. Also, I think the senses will be very, very disruptive. Getting that information, that quantified self data from any individual around the world is going to help with disease illnesses, is going to help with habit patterns, it's going to be, you know, it's going to help with every, I think it's going to help with everything that a human being can actually do in a day, in a month, in a year. And all that data will show amazing statistics of how we can essentially cure disease and essentially how we can live longer. And all these things, I think, it's just amazing, really, isn't it? I mean, you know, there are multiple areas where this artificial AI, as well as big data, can disrupt and help. So getting it right is the most important thing, I guess.
Paul, we're down to our last question, and I know you got to leave in just a few minutes. So in all the travels you've done, and you have this magnificent education, and you've attended things like Singularity University and this FutureMed program and so on, do you have any sort of interesting one story that you can share, maybe something amusing, surprising, unexpected, or amazing?
Well, I'm afraid I don't have that, but let me answer that in a very different kind of way. I mean, I think the most important thing about being an entrepreneur is you need to be able to impact a problem. You need to be able to solve a problem. And that's why I've chosen healthcare. But my life goal, if you ask me what my life goal would be, is I want to farm in Africa, for example. Because I've been to multiple countries and traveled a lot and lived in multiple different countries. But the reason why I want to farm in Africa is because I want to also tackle the famine problem around the world, especially in Africa. And if we can find a way to farm and do it in a mass scale in Africa, I think we can solve the problem of famine. And that's my life goal. And that's my, I think that's one of the duties that everyone should be thinking about, to be honest.
Well, Paul, it's been a real pleasure to have you come in and do this interview and share many of your deep insights with the audience. So thank you for taking the time today.
Oh, thank you, Stephen. It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Paul Lee, CEO of Curelee. Paul is an internationally distinguished doctor, entrepreneur, and innovator.